This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I didn't think we executed real well down the stretch, but again, after only being together for 4 days, that to be expected. All I care about is them playing hard. And all I care about coming out of Summer League is that when people talk about our team, we're the hardest playing team out here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia! 9:03 Is this still considered a holiday weekend?
Absolutely.
Okay, just making
absolutely.
Sure. Absolutely. Just making sure.
You know, and that's the whole thing. If you're going to be on the roadways later on today, a lot of people are going to be passing through the area, either coming back or going back home. We're watching some video monitors here in the Kia studios and the traffic lines at the airport. Going to be kind of lengthy today, so pack your patience. If you got to go out there either to take somebody to get a flight or pick somebody up, it's going to take you a minute.
That the sound that you heard as we were coming back from break was Greg Foster, the coach of the Summer League Atlanta
team.
Hawks.
Yeah,
and what these guys listen. There's a brighter spotlight on this team. We heard from DeShawn Tate earlier. You've mentioned it. The play of Trae Young and the overall approach that this Atlanta Hawks team has had to making themselves better in a very visible way with the acquisitions that they've made, how they want this team to look and play. They've made that well known. They're not trying to hide nothing from anybody.
Not at all.
And it got a whole lot easier for them to hit the mountaintop, or at least what they were, you know, for them what the mountaintop is, because of some people leaving the East and some teams not performing the way they were expected. Let's just put it that way.
That's the whole thing you got to wonder about. This whole thing with the shift now with the free agency, not totally done, but, you know, winding up there, the major pieces are falling into place. Where does this leave the East now? If Kawhi stays in Toronto, obviously they're at the top with them and Milwaukee.
But he gone.
But he's gone, so where does that leave Toronto? They still got some great players now, and they still got a great coach.
They still got several great players. You got Milwaukee. I have no idea. Well, KD's not coming back, so I don't expect. Listen, Brooklyn, that's the one. That's the X factor for me with Brooklyn.
You think they're going to be second best without?
I don't know. No, I said they're the X factor because I'm trying to eliminate the teams that have been players in the East. So if you don't subscribe to the theory that the Celtics are going to continue to do anything,
I think they will. I think the Celtics are going to be in your top five. I think the Celtics will be there. They're in your top three or four. I think Philadelphia can still be in your top three, four teams. Indiana,
the teams that you named, you think they're going to be above the Hawks? That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Detroit is better. You know, so I'm just giving some names. Let's address
a couple of these.
Because I mean, that's the thing. Do we want to play for the ping pong balls again?
No.
Or the fact that Kawhi's gone now. Do we want to go for the eight spot now?
Eight spot? Why are you putting that? I'm looking at like five or six. At worst, six. I don't think that Boston is going to be. I just think that they are one injury away from unraveling. Okay? And I don't know what I'm going to get out of Gordon Hayward coming back. He showed some signs.
Right.
But is he enough to make them a player above Philadelphia? Philadelphia lost Butler. I don't know. And listen, still you got to say, even though Ben Simmons got that contract, he's still got a hole in his game.
Right.
Okay. And while you have one of the
no
top
doubt
big
about
men,
that, but he's always had a hole in his game. But
all right. Ahead. Well, then there you go. So you look at what the Hawks are doing on a positive level. I think they can go past some teams. Listen, we said the same thing about this Braves team 2 years ago. We didn't expect to see what we saw last year. Okay. And for whatever reason, these guys started playing out of their minds and did what they did last year, and it's continued this year. There's no reason to believe with the players that this Hawks team has. I'm not saying that they're going to go past and beat the Greek Freak in Milwaukee. I'm not even saying they're going to end up in second place, but I'm just saying I'm not looking at this team to go play for ping pong balls.
No?
No. No.
We're good for at least one more year of ping pong balls.
Why? I mean, do you – I'm not comfortable saying that. I'm not even comfortable saying it. You know, all right, listen, let's just go on and kind of just play average and let's see.
No,
tank
who's coming out of college next year
that's going to be a move?
I'm going to say go out and play and go out and tank. That's we're not doing that. You're going to play to the best of the ability of your roster and what you put together.
And that roster I see being – I see a playoff team right now, given what the East is. If they're out West, that's a different conversation. But they're in the East right now. You see movement out of Miami?
Maybe some, but not a whole lot.
All right. So, Philadelphia, you think Boston's going to do something. They lose Kyrie. You don't know what you're getting full season out of Gordon Hayward. And even so, who is going to—
Remember now, Al Horford goes to Philly.
I understand that.
That's going to look strange.
It is. Yes, it is.
That's going to— Can I tell you how strange
that's
going to look?
But is he moving— he's a veteran player who's there for a couple different reasons, but not to move the needle. Like what they need. There's a team who needs that one more player. We were talking about earlier, teams aren't going for the trifecta of superstars anymore. Okay? And they might have thought they had that with Jimmy Butler there, but it didn't work out. That would be a team I would think would need that third player to come out of the East and be a contender against whoever comes out of the West. That team. I don't know that all the other teams in the East need the three players, but that team does. That's my opinion.
Your man out in OKC says he wants out.
Now, you're right. If Russell Westbrook ends up on one of these teams, that changes everything.
If he comes east, but where would he fit? That's the thing. I mean, if he comes to a team in the East, where would a guy with his talent and the guy who's going to command the ball?
Yep, he's going to take it. He's going to take it. My question is this: What coach?
He's a triple double man. He's a triple double man
what
now.
What coach has cachet to tell Russell Westbrook where to get off? Because you got to coach the guy. You can't have him come in and run everything. So you got to have a certain kind of coach there who's got a certain. Now Brad Stevens, though he's quiet, he's got gravitas enough to where I think he could, you know, pull Russell aside.
You think?
That's right. They have Kemba Walker, so that's not going to happen.
Yeah, they got.
All right. So where else are we going here?
I don't know. I don't know. We're going to go Wizards. I mean,
possibly Miami, Jimmy Butler. Spoelstra, after dealing with LeBron in them years, now having Westbrook there, I don't know. I just don't know. And the craziest thing is, you know, we talked about during the offseason whether or not Kawhi would go back with LeBron. And the general consensus was that was a no. All right? Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Could you see Brooklyn trying to make a deal?
Westbrook?
With OKC.
Wow, knowing that will be him hearing the rant in a year,
right? But you got Kyrie there, so you got those two guards. When one split off and be a, you know, you don't want Russell Westbrook being a two, so no, that wouldn't work. So
I'm trying to think of where in the East it would be a good landing spot for him. You know, if he's coming east, he wants out of OKC and not.
I've been trying to avoid saying this, so I'm just going to say it now.
Okay.
In Milwaukee. And that would, if those two were in Milwaukee together,
yeah,
give the freak Westbrook, and
wow.
I would guarantee you that he would stay in Milwaukee. Giannis would stay in Milwaukee, were those two together, and if they were to win a championship, he'd come out the East.
Coach Bud up to that.
Yeah. I didn't want to say that right away, but I was trying to dance around it, but
that would be
a spot that he would go, okay, yeah, I'm going to go play with that dude. And he wouldn't have two other, you know, superstars. He would be the other superstar on that team.
That could be a spot.
Now, yeah. The best producer in the tri-state area just told me that Detroit's making a play for him. But Detroit just made a play, and they offered Derrick Rose a couple years. Which you got to shake your head at that,
yeah,
too. You know, that's the trivia question that's going to come up in about 25 years. You know that?
Derrick Rose, how long has it been since Derrick Rose was Derrick Rose?
This
I mean, he's Derrick Rose.
Years ago.
I think it was during
the Obama administration,
It's been a while since he was Derrick Rose.
Right.
He ain't been Derrick Rose
He's a trivia question 25 years down the line. You know what it is? Who's the only NBA MVP not in the Hall of Fame?
Wow.
That's a trivia question for 25
years
down the road. Because You got to figure all the rest of
it. I mean, that's the whole thing. And, I mean, you know, God bless him. It's because of a whole lot of injuries that just seemed just wouldn't let him go. You know, that's the whole thing. And surprisingly, he's still in the league. You know, so the surprise that
he's had some injuries, yeah, but he's also had an issue between his ears and his outlook on playing with his teammates and the reasons for, at times, not playing. He pulled a Randy Moss.
Yep.
You know, I'm not going to work that hard because I want to play with my kids in 10 years and all that stuff.
Can you tell that Greg's from Chicago and a little bitter? Can y'all tell that if you're listening to that?
Listen.
Just slightly.
I didn't expect him to bring them back to those years.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I really did not.
Right.
I do not have a problem with him. I don't. So, you know, God bless him. I really don't. He's traveled enough places to make me forget about that time in Chicago. Right? Really has. And they weren't going anywhere with Thibodeau anyway. They really weren't. They weren't going anywhere.
All right, if you
Jimmy
say
Butler
so.
Was on. He was on the come. He was on his way up.
Right.
But still, that team with Derrick Rose playing the way he played then, I think he needed to have a couple hiccups and have to get away because he needed to change his game a little bit. I mean, he played. You know, we talk about how Russell Westbrook plays, and he's 100 miles an hour and a ramrodder and all that sort of stuff. But Derrick Rose played violently. I mean, his body went through just stops and turns and pops, and the way he went, it was violent the way it looked. It wasn't there wasn't much finesse there. He did some incredible things, and he had a handle at times equal to Kyrie. But it was just violent, and it looked like it would damage that body long term, and it looks like it has been.
Yeah, 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 and that's the disappointing thing about him. Because you saw the potential just have this phenomenal career.
As we look at this NBA and we look at these guys bouncing around in the players for the most part have changed the dynamic and they're running the league and the superstars are going to play where they want to.
As the NFL players get ready to go back to work with their mouths stuffed up because they can't do it.
But would you say that the most important thing right now in the NBA is not getting those exact superstars on the right team, but making sure they have the right coach
absolutely.
In place.
Absolutely.
That's really what you got to think about. Because
right.
You get on it. You can't. In other words, you can't have what we're seeing in L.A. What we saw in Golden State and what we saw before that with Miami and even what Ken brought up, what we saw before that with Boston, with Garnett and the boys when they won in 08.
You had the right
person.
You
can't do that in San Antonio. You couldn't do that with Pop, right?
Right.
Do you agree?
But you know, that's the whole thing. You have to fit into him a little bit more. But if that coach isn't in place, that player's not going to come anyway. As you think about it that way. Before he decides to come there, he's got to see who he's going to be dealing with. Unless you're LeBron, you're going to come in and you're going to run the coach out. You know what I mean? Not everybody can do that.
There is one other team that it would be a good fit, and what they're doing down there is something special, and that's Dallas. But I see him wanting to get out of the West.
Yeah, they've thrown so much money around down at that place.
Porzingis just there, but then they got the rookie of the year, and then you get a point guard that's down there doing something. I'm just saying. But I think he wants to get out of the West. So that's just my opinion. We are going to talk Braves.
Yes.
A team that's going to bounce back today, shut down the Marlins, and go into the All-Star break with a smile on their face. Corey McCartney is going to join us next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
I mean, it's exciting. When he gets balls in the gaps, it's exciting. And that right-handed swing is something else.
Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929thegame.com. Brian Sitker, Braves manager, talking about the team. And today they're going to go out and try to win another series. That's what this team has been doing. Win series since my atone for my misnomer from earlier in the show.
Oh, we've been having a day today. If you're just tuning in, this is the first day Sam and I have been back together for a while, and we started off exhibiting signs of old timers. As we say, I had Atlanta United playing Seattle, which is until next week, and Sam was shortchanging the Braves, and I've been all over the map today. But it's been fun.
It has been, in spite of all that.
On a day that we have decided to celebrate the life – by not really mentioning anything, but he would have been 113 years old today.
Yeah.
Satchel Paige.
And actually finished his career in the Braves bullpen.
Did he really?
Yeah, but he didn't pitch. He was just trying to get enough time.
He came out of the stands?
No, man. He was trying to get to his major league retirement.
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
He was down. Yes, last year he was down in the Braves.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, man.
I knew I wouldn't hang around you for nothing.
Last season he was here in Atlanta. We still don't know how old he was.
No, that's true. Like a Dominican shortstop. Yeah. Not sure of the paperwork. I say that about my dog. We say we rescued him, but we're not sure of the information. Anyway, Corey, just jump in here anytime you'd like. Corey.
He's right. You know, Satchel Paige needed to get the extra money to get his pension. So he spent 158 days in the Braves active roster. Bill Bartholomew, who brought the Braves to Atlanta, he brought him on, and you know, it was a nice sign for him to do that and, you know, help a legend out. But yeah, Sam's absolutely right.
Let's keep this going for a second. By the way, this is Corey McCartney, Fox Sports South, joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Do you think baseball fans, the younger baseball fans, understand what this guy was, meaning Satchel Paige, his career, his struggle to get to the majors, as was the case with a lot of those guys that came out of the Negro Leagues, but and what he did once he got here?
I don't think, you know, people have any real understanding of that. You know, I think that's why every year when the players go to Kansas City and they go to the museum, you always hear guys talking about just how much it opens their eyes to things. And, you know, Sam says we don't know how old Paige was. According to Bill Bartholomew, he was 62 years old when they actually signed him to put him on for the pension. So, an unbelievable legacy. And you know, I know that I wrote a book about the Braves that came out a few years ago, and Bartholomew talked to me about it then. And, you know, he was pretty insistent that was something that he wanted to do. He felt he needed to do because baseball owed Satchel Paige that much.
Wow, tremendous, tremendous story about him and someone we remember on this day. As we look at our Braves in this holiday weekend, had our win streak against the Marlins snapped yesterday, but we can right the ship today. It'll be a great way to go to the All-Star break, Corey.
Oh, without question. And Dallas Keuchel back on the mound, his second start at SunTrust Park. You know, he looked really good for the brunt of that last outing against the Phillies. Extreme ground ball pitcher. He didn't get a lot of those early in that start, but kind of settled in. And I've kind of been of the mind with Dallas Keuchel that anything that happens at this point, you kind of have to almost chalk up to being spring training. So if he pitches well and the Braves get a win, you know, you got to remember this guy, while he was still staying active, was basically sitting on the shelf for months while everybody else was going through spring and going through meaningful games. So, I think it's indicative to kind of just hold off on, you know, how much you want to read into things with him right now, because, you know, you have to just remember, how long of the time was for him to get on the team.
Corey, I made an analogy about Austin's reminded me a lot of Ryan Klesko when he came out. Now, we know he tied the rookie record for home runs before an All-Star break, but I'm telling you, this guy is swinging out of his shoes. But my question to you is, do we get too high? Do we get too low? Do we keep an even keel going into the second half of the season and see what adjustments the other teams are making as they pitch him?
I think that's certainly something you have to talk about, you know, the adjustments to the adjustments. You know, it's been said many times, including by Chipper Jones, that he really reminds me of Troy Glaus, who had obviously a really nice MLB career of his own. But, I was talking to Austin about this a couple weeks ago and just about his approach, and he said he tries to not get too high or too low, and he looks to guys like Brian McCann that every day you walk in, he says, you know, you can't tell whether that guy went 0-for-4 or he hit two homers the night before. And I think having him around these kind of guys, and, you know, they sent him to spring training 2 years ago to kind of start that process. But I think he feeds off those guys and is kind of, you know, I think that's the leadership around him is a big reason why I think he's confident that he'll be able to work around those adjustments that are made to him.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline this morning with Corey McCartney from Fox Sports South. You can follow him on Twitter. He is social. He is there at Corey J. McCartney. Well, he is social.
I don't
know. At Corey J. McCartney, all lowercase. Why you laugh when I said he's social?
I'm just, this is the way it came out your mouth.
Nick Markakis, and I was watching.
He's not talking like Tinder. He's just talking like.
No.
I know.
We're not taking things to another level.
No, man.
No, we're not. I kept my mouth shut.
He's way over in the corner now. But he is. Talk a little bit about Nick Markakis and what he's. And when I think of this team, and I always try to make parallels between this team and the team of the 90s, and I think about a veteran that came on and just made a difference. Maybe not, he's not the Terry Pendleton in the sense that TP was this vocal guy who had been an MVP, but to me is this veteran that came in that his presence is maybe a little understated, for us on the outside, but on the inside, I think it means the world to the team and to the success of this baseball team.
Oh, without question. And when you, to a man, you'll hear about the leadership of Nick Markakis, and he's certainly, when we deal with him, he's often quiet and measured and reserved in his comments. But, you know, it's been said many times that when something needs said, he'll be the guy to say it. And, you know, he came in, you know, I think admittedly at a weird time in this organization. Jason Hayward had just left. Not only did they give him his position, a homegrown kid, they gave him his number as well. You know, I think his, you know, he's at times been, you know, I think misjudged because the numbers aren't as prolific as maybe some people want from that position, but he's always been steady. I mean, he's closing in on 500 doubles for his career. You know, I think the main thing to watch with him is just how much do they really use rest as a weapon with him. It was something that they talked about in the offseason, Alex Anthopoulos and Brian Snicker, about giving him time off. He's played 90 games at this point. You know, I think they just need to watch out because obviously late last season when the games really started to matter, he faded a bit in playing 162. So I think it's just key that he gets rest, but it's been clear what he's meant to this team over these four seasons he's been here.
Again, Corey McCartney, Fox Sports South, joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Mike Soroka, going to the All-Star Game. Just a fabulous first half of this season, setting the world on fire. But much like what we were talking about with Austin Riley, adjustments are going to be made by other teams going into this second half. How do you look at this guy's post-All-Star week season?
Was that, did you say Mike Soroka?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I think he's just such a cerebral guy that I don't think you have really any effect. Remember last year, I mean, his first outing was against the Mets, right? And then he turns around and sees the Mets again, and he dominated them again. He's seen the Cardinals a couple times this season. So I think he's shown you, you know, that he can make adjustments. And I asked him when he was last year having that success in those two outings against the same team, like, when you have success and you are going to see that team in such close proximity to another start, do you as a young pitcher alter anything about your approach? And he's like, I'm going at them the same way. They have to adjust to me, and then I'll go back and reset things. And I think he just has that composure to him, quiet confidence. I don't really think he's someone you worry about. I think he's really blossomed into as someone that you believe that you will look five years down the road, and this is a guy we're going to be talking about as one of the premier pitchers in all of baseball.
Well, listen, Sam, I got to ask him because one of the things that we talked about an hour or so ago was the competition in this division.
Right.
So remove your hat from the Braves for a second. These guys, everybody's looking up at this Atlanta team. We've had a guy who used to cover Atlanta sports. He's in Philly, and he talked about the debacle that team is in, and it's centered around what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know if you can get specific or you've heard the same thing, but should we worry about this Phillies team as far as getting their stuff together in the second half?
I'd be much more worried about the Nationals. You know, to me, because you have Scherzer, you have Strasburg, you have Patrick Corbin, you've got Anthony Rendon in a lineup that's healthy. We've not seen them hit on all cylinders yet, and I think that's the scariest thing about them because, you know, I mean, we saw Anibal Sanchez last year and how well he can pitch and how well he can, you know, help younger pitchers out as well. But I think when you have the big three there and that fourth guy in an offense that's not reached its peak yet, that team is going to come, and they're going to have, I think, the biggest challenge presented to the Braves. But, you know, that when you've got Scherzer at the top of all that, I mean, you have, in my estimation, the best pitcher in baseball right now, and that's a scary combination.
Corey, you talk about that team, and you talk about pitching, and we know as we get into the second half of this season, we get down through August into September in Atlanta for the playoffs, postseason pitching is going to be crucial. We're scoring a lot of runs and the bats are booming, but we know when you get to October, those games are going to be 2-1, 1-0, 3-2. Do the Braves still have a move in them for a pitcher, do you think?
I think they do, and you mentioned that. And think about the two games the Braves have been shut out this season with Aaron Nola last week and Hinjin Ryu when they were out when they faced the Dodgers
right,
out in L.A.
Right.
And Ryu's obviously starting for the NL in the All-Star game. It took him a long time to get to Jacob deGrom, and he threw that gem here in Atlanta a few weeks ago. I think there's probably still going to be one left. Do they feel the incentive or the push to have to go out and get someone along the lines of a Madison Bumgarner, just a big name that's out there in terms of the starter market with Mike Foltynewicz being in AAA right now? I don't know if there's such an extreme notion for that, but I think they still need to do something bullpen-wise. Obviously, you know, Will Smith, a Georgia guy out there with the Giants, is going to be a name you're going to hear. Shane Green, who made the AL All-Star game for the Tigers. I think there's going to be a lot of really interesting names. I think they still need that one final piece that guy to really set things off in the bullpen.
And watch to see if that happens. I mean, that's the whole thing. What do you do during the All-Star break? What are you going to get to do?
We get to work. We get, you know, we get all of our All-Star coverage, so it doesn't really stop for us. So the wheels keep moving.
You know, we talk about some of these players on this team, and there are players that are playing much better, but I just can't think of anybody who's been more important to this team than Brian McCann this year. Coming on.
He's been unbelievable. 35 years old. You know, he hasn't been healthy since 2013. He hasn't been this productive since 2013. Last year he had the surgery, and he said he's finally able to plant on that right foot when he's hitting. He said he would collapse on him before. He told us all winter long, I'm ready to go. I'm hitting. I'm going to hit to all fields. He's still a bit of a extreme pull hitter, but, you know, hit more better to center field. He told us, and we didn't listen. And, you know, to a man that talked to those guys, and they're just all impressed with the way he's hitting. And it's been $2 million very well spent.
Very well spent, and went the opposite way Friday night for the game winner on the walk-off.
Well, let's not forget he broke up the no-hitter first and then drove in the winning run.
Yeah, after a two-and-a-half-hour rain delay. Come on now.
Corey, listen, we appreciate the knowledge and getting up and being a part of the show, man.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend. That's Corey McCartney, Fox Sports South. Join us, Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Couple games going on today. Wimbledon is taking the day off.
Yes, they got a day off.
But there's still some stories surrounding that. Of course, big day out at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, not just with Atlanta United. We'll tell you about that next. And like I said, give our final thoughts on some of these games going today. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And those of you headed out to Mercedes-Benz Stadium for a day of soccer, two big matches.
Yep.
Got to look at it that way.
Whole day full.
Folks are going to start drinking early, don't you think?
They just might.
They're going to start drinking
early. They just might.
Well, not me. You know, I don't drink no more.
No, but some other folks, they'll take your part.
I just freeze it and eat it like a popsicle.
they'll take your portion today.
You know the problem with people who don't drink?
What's that?
When they wake up in the morning, that's the best they gonna feel all day.
Oh, see. Oh, man, come on.
That's a Dean Martin joke. Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout the show today, before we turn things over to the folks out at Mercedes-Benz, let me just tell you what is going on out there. This is a big day if you did not know. Mercedes-Benz Stadium is opening its doors, I would imagine, well, now.
Yeah.
Right? Because in about soon. 20 minutes or so, you are going to hear from John Fricke, Hugh Douglas, our own John and Hugh.
Yep.
They're going to be broadcasting out there. They are welcoming those of you that are soccer fans that would like an experience as you watch the Women's World Cup team play for their final today. And they would love for you to enjoy it inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium, viewing it on the Halo board, which is what they're doing out there.
Absolutely.
And you can go out there, get yourself a good seat, get yourself something to eat. At affordable prices.
Very affordable.
Affordable prices.
The food is affordable.
Thanks to Mr. Blank.
Yeah.
And, of course, you want to hang around afterwards, watch Atlanta United and New York Red Bulls.
There you go.
Pre-game 1:30, kickoff 2. So, again, this is a full day. This is the perfect time for you, those of you that are back from 4th of July celebration, wherever you went. Yeah, what are we going to do on this Sunday? I heard the rain's coming. Well, boom, there you go.
There you go.
Perfect place to go.
Got that going on. You know, you get to watch the U.S. women's national team, root for them, and then hopefully we get to see Atlanta United look more like Atlanta United than they did Thursday night.
You talking about that game against Chicago?
Oh.
Did not look good.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
And speaking of making that noise, you don't want to see the same thing for the Braves.
No.
So if you can't or won't or would prefer baseball and you have a chance to see the Braves today, enjoy yourself going out there as they take on the Marlins.
Dallas Keuchel's on the mound. His fourth start since coming to the Braves, and if he pitches the way he pitched the last time out, he just needs a little bit of run support. He don't need a whole lot. If he pitched like he pitched last time, just two, three runs to do it.
Question.
Yeah.
Put $1,000 in your pocket. You got to put it down on a bet. Does Austin Riley break Klesko's record today? Does he jerk one out, or does he remain tied? Rookie record. If you don't know, Austin Riley hit his 16th home run yesterday. That tied the Atlanta Braves rookie record for home runs before the All-Star break with Ryan Klesko, a guy who I have just, and not talking about his career in total, just the way he hits home runs, he reminded me of Klesko. And it's just this power behind it and jerking out of his shoes sort of thing. And Does he get it done today? Would you put that money down that he breaks the record today?
I'm going more on Ozzie Albies to get his 15th to give the Braves six players with 15 before the All-Star break. First major league team to do that.
Okay. All right. I'm just twisted saying, it up on me there, didn't you?
I'm just saying.
You just twisted it up on me.
No, just one or the other would be great to see.
All right. Also, throughout the show today, we've been talking about, in honor of Coco Gauff, who is 15 years old and setting the world on fire with her play at Wimbledon. What other teenagers have set the world on fire on the main stage, if you will, sports main stage?
Major stage.
Professionals main stage. And, I mean, we started off with, well, Wimbledon. Got to start with Boris Becker. 17-1 at 85. Ken Griffey Jr. landed at 19, along with Andrew Jones, also at 19, set the world on fire. You mentioned Tracy Austin.
Yeah.
Freddie Adu, 14 years old, speaking of soccer players.
Right.
Ken, the – what's the name we decided to give him? What's the name we gave Ken?
Oh yeah, Ken.
I was seeing if Sam remembered it.
The best producer in the tri-state area.
Thank you.
Anyway, instead of getting the bumper stickers done and the T-shirts.
He came up with Kobe, LeBron, and Kevin Garnett.
Okay.
You think that should be on the list?
Yeah.
You didn't think Kobe should be
on
the list?
Well, man, I mean, they made it to play in the NBA, but I mean, they didn't
get championships or anything
like that.
That first year.
The first year, he struggled.
Okay, so Kobe doesn't go on the list. Sorry, Kev. All right, LeBron, he stays there?
He can. But he got Rookie of the Year.
Okay. Kevin Garnett?
Okay. But I'm just saying, I mean, the other guys got off to a, you know, Kobe got off to a rough start. They wondered what was happening with him. What was the big deal about bringing him out there for a minute?
When did Steffi Graf pop? Was she still a teenager then?
She was
then?
Still a teenager when she hit the scene. Yeah, because she was gone by the time she was 30. And think of all that she had accomplished and all the championships that she won.
You say what you will about Serena, and rightfully so. She still never did something that Steffi Graf has done. And that's the Grand Slam in a calendar year.
In a calendar year.
Excuse me, she got the Golden Slam. For those of you who don't know what the Golden Slam is, that's all four majors in a calendar year along with an Olympic gold medal.
Yep.
1988. So she got all, I mean, we talked earlier about Lendl being a machine. She was a machine.
Totally.
She played tennis like Greg Maddux pitched.
Yep.
Just lead a car running. I'll be back in about, what?
About a half hour. And this would be like a Wimbledon final.
Yeah.
You know, this would be like a final of a major tournament to be on and off the court quick. I mean, you know, accepted the trophy and posed for the pictures and everything. Half hour, I'm gone. I mean, it would be fast.
I saw something when we were prepping for the show today, speaking of tennis players, and I had to take a step back because I always wondered why this dude was inserted into this situation. And for those who don't know, it was the Battle of the Sexes that was held back when, and it was Billie Jean King
and Bobby Riggs
opening a number of doors for women tennis players and women, period.
Yeah.
Okay.
Knocking down some walls.
But why Bobby Riggs? I mean, he was a big mouth announcer. He was 55 years old at the time being, and I'm thinking, I never heard of this dude, but she played him, and it was the Astrodome, and it was a massive event, and she ended up winning.
Absolutely.
Well, as we were prepping today, I went and looked, and I was like, this is the anniversary or something. And Bobby Riggs actually won Wimbledon.
Yeah, he did.
Not only did he win Wimbledon that particular year, he won the men's singles, he won the men's doubles, and he won mixed doubles. I'm not kidding you.
As we talked about why we don't see more of the main, you know, men's singles players take on mixed doubles, as we saw Andy Murray play with Serena Williams yesterday, which seemed to be very popular with the crowd there at the All England.
Do you think Serena likes the fact that she's kind of the Serena's playing too because of what Coco Gauff is doing?
For now. But
I think she does.
But I think she figures going into this next week, the focus will get back on her a little bit more, especially if Coco doesn't get past Simona Halep tomorrow. This will be the third week for Coco Gauff. For people who don't realize, she had to play through the qualifying round. She had to win a tournament to get into the tournament. That's a lot of tennis for anybody. I know she's 15 years old. She's got a lot of energy. And thankfully, today she's getting a day off. She'll probably just practice and probably just relax and probably do something fun today, before she gets back to action tomorrow. But 3 weeks of tennis at that level, that kind of pressure, that's very difficult.
Yeah, but the thing is, you say pressure. I don't think there was any pressure because she wasn't expected to do what she has done. So she probably just – it's kind of like what you were saying about Tiger early on this season before, before East Lake and all the stuff that happened at the end of last year, when he had a a scoring average that was much higher on a Saturday and Sunday because he was already out of it. If he made it to Saturday and Sunday.
Right, right.
He would just let loose and go, okay, I ain't going to win this thing. So, and then he'd go out and shoot and low. He'd shoot a low score.
Right.
And I think the same thing applies to Coco when she came in to this tournament. Now, we're going to check her intestinal fortitude going forward because now this light is getting a lot brighter. She's going to have a whole lot more folks. And then here's the other thing, too. Her parents.
Yes.
Not heard word, what, not a peep out of them, which is counter to what we experienced when the Williams sisters were coming up.
Yeah, 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 that was a little different. Richard Williams handled it a little bit differently. The Goffs have been, they've been very demonstrative from this, from their perch where they've watched.
Right.
And they've gone through every emotion with her. You can tell they've had every facial expression, mm-hmm. every physical pose you can think of, parents that they've gone through, just the anxiety. Because she's 15 years old, but she's still their baby.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's their baby, and they don't care nothing about pomp and circumstance over
no,
there.
Man, no.
We're going to dap, we're going to pump, and we're going to all that stuff. And she's just embraced herself, or they have, the tennis community has just given her – figuratively speaking, a massive hug.
Yeah.
It's like, we like you. Please continue doing what you're doing.
But that brings all the other thing. She has a limit on how many tournaments she can play. I think it's a good thing, but some people are saying, hey, we want to see more of this girl. And if she handles it well, and if she's well-grounded, and she seems to be very well-grounded.
She does.
You know, does she get to play more tournaments? Do you put her out there to play more?
I want at least... You wish you could have two because we talked about, you just got through talking about this as far as being, but this was grass. Now she's got hard courts coming up with the U.S.
Open. She's home. She's
home. I understand that.
That's what she's grown up on.
You still want, you'd like to have, is there going to be at least one? Because I haven't
seen
her schedule.
She'll have to do at least one. I mean, she's going to add two more additional because she's gotten to the second week of Wimbledon. They may allow her one or two more tournaments, but that's before her next birthday, next March. That's got to last her all through U.S. Open, all through Australian Open, Indian Wells, and Miami.
Yeah. When's she going to have time to get her driving permit?
I know.
Before we turn things over to John and you, one more shot at some jobs. A casting call's up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.